If you have in your mind that the Bible is filled with images of precious moments from your curio cabinet, or perhaps nativity figures that you just put out in December, perhaps you've not gotten around to reading the book of Judges before. And perhaps, I'm imagining, it's because we've not gotten a chance in our time together to preach or to hear a sermon from the book of Judges. Recently, I took a study of the sermons that I've preached here at West Grove in the last 5 years. It's been 240 sermons in the last 5 years. Took a little look at what that was. In fact, we done together a series on the book of Genesis back in 2017. That was about 25 sermons that we did together. And in that time, we've done 39 on the book of Psalms. And we did, my personal favorite, 60 on the book of Luke. But this many on the book of Judges. And it stood out to me as I did this study. So I thought we best look a little bit at the book of Judges. So after Moses died, Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, the land that they had been waiting and wanting for. In the style of Moses, Joshua, chosen by God, led the people confidently and followed after God. But Joshua, as we heard Karen share, ultimately also died. And the Israelites fell away from the God whom they had followed and looked to seeking other gods. They forgot who to follow and how it was that they were to live. In short, their lives fell into chaos. I wonder if we know anything about what it's like to feel like our lives are in chaos. Reading the book of Judges is not so different than catching up on the news. It's a little bit like bringing up your social media feed and seeing exactly what's going on in the world. It's a little bit of war and violence. It's a little bit of people behaving badly. Each of this plays a part. Perhaps a high school shooting in Alabama with 10 injured on Friday, or 5 people who died in a Texas shooting yesterday in Odessa. Across time, humanity has often known violence and war, division and pain. And the biblical narrative doesn't happy wash in any way this truth. And nor does the God that we serve remain completely disengaged from this kind of heartbreak either. The tragedy of violence often finds God right there in the midst of the mess, often with these conflicts and these violence. Like the God who brought the Israelites from the freedom through the Red Sea, God has a preferential option for the poor, for the widow, for the oppressed, for the less powerful, and fights on their side. So you might have noticed on the front of the bulletin, the game of Judges. And if you've ever read any of the 7 volumes, God bless you, of the Game of Thrones, the books of which they were based, the Song of Ice and Fire by George R.R. Martin, or watched any of the episodes of Game of Thrones, heads up, violence, heads up, things you might not be showing your children, heads up, you might understand the Israelites' mixed relationship with those who protected them. Game of Thrones debuted back in April of 2011 with a story about kings and queens, knights and renegades, all vying for control of 7 fictional kingdoms. And with at least 10 main characters, some of which, sorry for the spoiler, were murdered right away in the first couple of seasons, it could be nearly impossible to keep track of the characters. It sounds an awful lot like the book of Judges. More importantly, the viewers sought to keep track of who was the head of state, leading the enterprise, the protector of the realm. The protector of the realm, a title earned by the Lord of the 7 kingdoms through military battle. Because you and I, a little bit like Where the Wild Things Are that we just heard with the kids, are a little bit like Max. We're a little bit like Max, who want to fight back against some of the rules that we've been given and decide to go our own ways. I'm sure that none of you have ever had exactly the same wild rumpus that Max had. I love Mason suggesting to us that it's a dream. Perhaps indeed it is. But some of us might well, like the book of Judges, have had these moments in which we've walked away from where God has called us to be and then asked for God to deliver us from where we've walked away from. Later determine we want to come back home and have our dinner still hot, where we're welcome back. Pride and sin, self-determination that separates us, and love that draws us back. It's not so different from the cry of the Israelites who asked God to raise up a judge. God who raises up these warriors to rescue the Israelite tribes in loose relationships and coalitions. And the pattern we'll hear is so predictable. While in the promised land, they worship other gods. Want to know what it's like to worship another god? God becomes upset, allowing their enemies to attack Israel. Israel calls out to God for help. God helps them, raises up a judge, delivers Israel, and the people worship God for a time. When the judge dies, the Israelites return to their same old way. And it begins again. The judges, by and large, were charismatic military leaders upon whom God's Spirit rested. Not that they were the perfect leaders, but the ones whom God called for this specific point in time. The Bible shares their story so plainly. The judges weren't always known for upstanding moral character. Don't forget to come when we talk about Samson, and you'll be really clear on why that is. Judges weren't always known specifically for their religious adherence. In the same way that political leaders aren't always intended to be followed in every area of their lives, the stories in Judges raise our ire in the same way that a story about human trafficking might unnerve us and push us into action. They raise within us a holy impatience with selfishness or with sin, with violence or with indiscretion, as we look forward to a time in which that is no longer the case. We know that God hears the cry of God's people and sends someone to lead the people towards justice. This is Deborah's story and Samson's, Gideon's and Abimelech's, but this is also the story that teaches us about who we anticipate Christ to be as well. God gives us also a protector of the realm in Jesus the Christ. Jesus who battles not just for the biggest title or the bragging rights or the most land. Set aside that image for just a moment. But for salvation, wholeness, and shalom for each and every one of us. Because you and I find ourselves crying out for justice and following Jesus with all that we are, and then in the same breath, forgetting who and whose we are. So today we look sometimes for who are our judges, who leads us here in this place. One of the judges you might look to in this day is the Reverend Dr. William Barber of the Poor People's Campaign and the Moral Mondays, picking up on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s work and reviving it with the spirit of the gospel today. He stands on the words of Jesus when he says, "There is no religious left or religious right. There is a moral center. And scripture is clear where it says, you are on the side of the poor and the working and the sick and the immigrant." We hear God's call for justice and the example of the persistent widow. So may you seek justice with persistence and the focus of following judges around us who usher in the realm of God. And when you and I, like those who have come before us, fall away from that kind of persistence, get carried away in a wild rumpus, whatever that means for you, or discouraged by the violence that is around us, may you call out to the God who keeps your dinner warm. For God is loving and caring, abounds in grace. And God will hear your call. Look to Jesus and follow God's ways of justice. This is the gospel, my friends, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.